Have you ever played a goal-less game? How about if I invited you to a game of competition but gave you absolutely no instruction on how to play the game and no end goal in mind? So you had no true idea what you were playing for. What's the goal? If you're going to be a player for the long haul, you need to know what you're playing for, don't you think? How many would be involved in something for very long that you were totally confused, didn't know what the goal or the purpose was? Not very many of us. We spend our time, and I spend my time preaching and teaching on the real applications of daily life, of the Word of God to our lives. That's where we live. But the Bible tells us, without a vision, the people dwell carelessly. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Without a vision, the people perish. And it literally means dwell carelessly. Football has what? The Super Bowl. Baseball has the World Series. Some compete in the Olympics. There's a final goal, a determined end. But in Christianity, we actually spend little time nowadays in our current day and age speaking about the end. We refer in vague generalities. And there's little aspect of current perspective that deals with heaven. And we've been in a series on the river of God and the move of God. And we've come through three parts now, and last week was the move of God brings us to our knees in deed and repentance. But this week is a different element of the move of God and the river of God, because the river of God begins and ends in heaven. Pastor Sherry's got a favorite verse, Psalm 78, verse 23, and I'll bet many of you can quote it with me. But as for me, I get as close to Him as I possibly can. That's what heaven is all about. I'm going to do a lot of scripture this morning, and so we've brought Pat back by popular demand after giving her a week off. Yay, Pat! Church, we've actually been robbed of our treasure because we don't speak of heaven very much. Now I recognize there are generations of Christians and churches that all they ever speak about week by week, or used to speak about week by week, was getting saved and going to heaven, getting saved and going to heaven, getting saved and going to heaven. And nobody lived for the nasty now and now, which was a demonstration of bringing His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. How many believe God wants us to have victory now and live His presence in this earth in this hour? So we need to get as much of heaven here on earth as we can. But we've stopped preaching about the goal. And every now and then, we need to remember, what is this goal that we're after? How many know that Jesus deals with you day by day, week by week? Come on, let me see you show of hands. Come on, some of you don't have the hands up high enough because I know He's dealing with you. Do you know that there's a song that says He's fitting us for heaven, conforming us to His image, making Him like Him, conforming us. Because the struggle won't be in heaven. In heaven, we get to enjoy Him and His presence. So our goal, we're going to live for Him as best as we can here. We're going to bring His kingdom on earth as much as it is in heaven. But there was a day that heaven filled a lot more Christians' minds, a lot more than they do now. Mortality rates were higher. Illnesses didn't have quick answers. Suffering and tears would end when we got to heaven. You see, the black spirituals in the early slave trade days of America, they were singing songs about heaven because they understood. They knew life is no good here, but it will be better there. Amen. But now preaching on earth about heaven has almost come to an end. And I think we have a lack of understanding about heaven. And we talk about heaven and our eyes kind of glaze over. Turn to each other. Say, wake up. Don't glaze. Don't glaze out on us. The problem is, when we talk about heaven, a lot of people think heaven sounds absolutely boring. Come on, you want to be honest? I'm not trying to be sacrilegious, but heaven sounds boring. You mean I'm supposed to sit on a harp all day long and play an accordion, or sit on a cloud all day long and play my accordion? No, that's Dan's cloud. But, that just doesn't sound any good to me. Okay, I'm sorry, Dad, I love you, but I'm taking my cloud somewhere else, okay? Okay. Okay. Anyway, so we think it's boring. We don't understand what heaven's all about. Look at a couple of these paragraphs with me. Randy Alcorn has written quite a bit of material, as a Christian man, written quite a bit of material on heaven. I've got a couple of paragraphs that I want you to look at with me. Satan need not convince us that heaven doesn't exist. He need only convince us that heaven is a place of boring, unearthly existence. If we believe that lie, we'll be robbed of our joy and anticipation. We'll set our minds on this life and not on the next, and we won't be motivated to share our faith. Why should we share the good news that people can spend eternity in a boring, ghostly place that we're not even looking forward to? You know, come on, when you talk about heaven, what do you envision? Let's see, there's a fuzzy bright light there somewhere. That's what it's become in a lot of places. Satan hates the new heaven and the new earth that Jesus has promised. Why? Because he's not a part of it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hell is created for the devil and his emissaries. It was not created for people, but sin entered in. And some refuse to turn from their sin. Hey, you know, a deposed dictator hates the new nation and the new government that replaces his kingdom. Satan cannot stop Christ's redemptive work, but he can keep us from seeing the breadth and depth of redemption that extends to the earth and beyond. He cannot keep Christ from defeating him, but he can persuade us that Christ's victory is only partial, that God will abandon his original plan for mankind and the earth. So what's today's day and age, the perspective that the enemy has fostered off onto us, a lie in the body of Christ about heaven, and what's its goal to accomplish? Threefold. A. For unbelievers to reject Jesus without fear. Listen, take a look at what's taught in our culture nowadays. No heaven, no hell, no fear of God. There's not a judging God. He's a loving God. If there is a God, he's all love. There's no judgment. Isn't that what we teach in our society nowadays? Look around you. Is that true? We have a God who loves and doesn't want to judge, but you take a look at the Bible, and it's unfair to the character of God and terribly full of error to say our God is loving but not judging. Love is a lot greater when you understand you deserve the judgment but receive the grace. Somebody say amen. Come on. Preach it, Pastor Kev. This is basic, but preach it. Thank you. Amen, amen. But it's truth, isn't it? Listen, if there's no fear of God, and there's no fear of retribution, there's no fear of judgment, love's fine. Heaven's fine. Well, of course I'm going to heaven. Of course. When I stop long enough to understand that what I deserve is the flame and pit of hell, and I do not deserve Jesus and His grace, I do not deserve the fact that that wonderful Lord of mine went to a cross, was brutally tortured and beaten, and died and was buried and rose again. I don't deserve any of that. But if I don't understand the pain of judgment on sin, I'll never grasp the love of His grace and mercy. He wants unbelievers to reject Jesus without fear. He wants Christians to be unmotivated to share Jesus with others. If there's no heaven, or if there's no big deal, then why share? Number three, he wants God to receive far less glory for the fantastic redemption that He's given us through Jesus. Now, in our Western mindset, and you understand the Western mindset as compared with the Asian mindset, we are those who believe in rationality, and we are those who believe scientifically. And so the realm of science is real, and the rest is ghostly or otherworldly. So we cause people to question the validity of the spiritual. So the philosophy of life, eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. There's no more to life. Is that true?
No.
I said, is that true?
No.
It's a lie, isn't it?
Yep.
It's a deceiving lie that our understanding or our lack of understanding world has adopted. And we need to understand what is it really about heaven. Where are your eyes and where is your focus? The Bible tells us, live by faith and not by sight. Without faith, it's impossible to what?
Please.
To please Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're commanded to live focused on Jesus. One of the most important scriptures I could give you this morning is this next one. It goes like this, Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are where? Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now look at this in the New Living. Since you've been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sight on the realities of, say it with me, heaven. Where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power. Let what?
Heaven.
Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about things down here on earth. Come on, I want you all to read that last verse with me, and I want you to get real loud. Go ahead, just preach it out, just like you're the preacher this morning. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about things down here on earth. And in closing, I repent, Lord, for not doing that. Can anybody with me say amen?
Amen.
Isn't that a challenge?
Yeah.
Isn't that a challenge?
Yeah.
Come on, I said, isn't that a challenge?
Yeah.
Some of you are still looking too holy at me. Isn't that a challenge?
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, you should have been sitting at my desk this week. You could have quoted this verse to me several times. It's a challenge. Oh, Lord, the test of our soul. And He gives us an instruction to keep us going right. He gives us an instruction to keep our priorities in our heart. He'll keep us. And He says, here's what you need to do, Kev. Quit complaining!
Right.
Preaching to me here. Set your affection on things above, where Christ lives. Where does Jesus live? And in my heart. God knows how to help us have full victory in this life to keep our eyes on Him. But are we there yet? Not fully. Are we there yet? Not fully. How many understand? You'll have more understanding of His presence in heaven. You know, here's what happens. I demand that life works right here, right now. I demand it. I'm preaching about me. I'm not trying to preach about you right now. I want life to work, and I want it to work now. And I want patience like yesterday. You know, excuse me. And I want my microphone not to fall off my pants. I demand it. And the more I demand it, the less I'm fulfilled. Because it's not where life is. My life is hidden in Christ, in God. Is your heart and mind... Are your heart and mind fixed on Jesus? On things above? The devil would love nothing more than to neutralize us by keeping us grounded on things of the earth. Psalm 57:7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Listen to the scriptures. I have several of them to share with you. John 14, verses 1 through 6. John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go, Jesus said, to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way you know. Thomas is just like us. He says to him, I don't know. Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Well, Thomas gives you a little hope, doesn't he? Ever feel like Thomas?
Yeah.
Jesus said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Don't be troubled. That means literally, the Greek means out of your wits with agitation. Don't be out of your wits with agitation. I'm going away to make a way for you in eternity. My kingdom is light and love. And relationship that cannot be broken, full of healing and full of life, joy. I'm preparing that place for you. Look forward to being together with me, Jesus said. Colossians 3 through 6 out of the New Living. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard that you trust in Christ Jesus and that you love all of God's people. Verse 5, look at this. You do this, what's the word? Because you are looking forward to the joys of heaven. And you have been ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. The New King James says, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. That's nice wording, but it's a little easier to understand out of the New Living. The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's changing lives everywhere, just as it changed yours that very first day you heard and understood the truth about God's great kindness to sinners. You're living differently, the Apostle Paul is saying, because you've got this great hope inside of you. You're looking forward to heaven. You're looking forward to the good news that you can go to heaven. Remember, there was legalism that divided the people from God, and Jesus came and broke down that wall of partition. And Jesus ripped the veil in two, and God and man can now be together forever. Amen. It's a privilege. It's a relationship, a personal relationship. Tell me about your Christianity. If all you talk to me about is religion, then you don't understand the key of what Jesus did to give you intimate, personal relationship with God. 1 Peter 3, verse 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a what kind of hope? A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. How many want a nice inheritance? How many have run out of relatives? All right. Yeah, but you got a better inheritance coming. Oh, gosh. This is just too honest. I have found myself upon occasion going, let's see, do I have any relatives left? No, is the answer. The good news that's coming to you is an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away. Look at this. Reserved where? Did you make a reservation? Did you get your ticket and get on board? A lot of old-fashioned phrases have their reality in some of these truths of Scripture. Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, that's an interesting statement, and the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no more sea. Now you got to understand, I can't do everything about heaven here today. There are some people who teach 3 levels of heaven and some teach 7 levels of heaven. I can tell you one thing. It ain't going to be by your good works that you're going to get into heaven. It's by the works that Jesus has done for you. There will be rewards for those faithful, loving things you've done before the Lord. But we are going to heaven when we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. There was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them, be their God. Look at the good news, you guys. God's going to what? Wipe every tear from their eye. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. No more death, no more sorrow, crying, pain. The tangible presence of God forever. Forever. What's our goal? Let's get as much of heaven on earth as we can. But remember, there's something beautiful, passionate, powerful, real, full and great and glorious to look forward to. And when we drop our hope and we never give any thought to it, we're playing without a goal in mind. There is heaven to come. And church, we don't want anybody to miss out on it, do we? And we don't want to miss out on it. No more sorrow. We've been talking about the river of God, the move of God. Notice where the river originates. Look at the next scripture, Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from where? The throne of God. Where was it from?
The throne of God.
and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face. His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. It's going to be glorious and radiant and crystal clear, and they shall reign forever and ever. This river, it's pure, not polluted by sin and grief and heartache. It's clear as crystal. It's honest. It's true. It's trustworthy. There's nothing duplicitous, nothing hidden here. The tree of life is there, and it brings healing. The leaves are for the healing of the nations. No disease. How many will be glad to say, no more disease, sickness, no more arthritis, no more pain, no more allergies, no more backache, no more pain in the head? Come on, church.
Awesome.
We want His healing power now. Come on, Lord, pour it out. We want revival. Pour out revival. But there are some, even in the Scriptures, who didn't tangibly get healed on earth. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. Oh, man, don't you just really hope heaven's better than here? It's got to be. You bet it is. Having said that, I don't want to go there this moment. Amen?
I'm ready.
Okay. Got my bags packed and ready to go, but I'd like to hang around a little while longer. I don't have plans on leaving you this afternoon. But if I did, I know where I'm going. Do you? The light of God is there. No confusion, no turmoil. Jesus is there. My Jesus is there. The one I've been running after for a long time now. He's there. And I'll finally get to see Him face to face. You know, I gave my life to the Lord when I was 14. I really surrendered when I was 16. Did a little messing around in between. But there's something that keeps gripping my soul and won't let me go. Are you honest enough with me that, like me, every now and then, every rare eternity now and then, temptation comes up? Jesus is better. He's bigger. I want to see Him. There's something that just won't let me go. I don't want to get too far away from You, Lord. I want to be as close to You as I possibly can. Let's talk about heaven. A few points, just a few. We're going to worship Jesus. Do you know that on earth, you got time to practice now for heaven there? I said, do you know you're in practice now for heaven? If you don't like to sing and worship the Lord now, heaven's going to be hell for you. You understand that? Going to be a lot of singing in heaven. And it won't matter whether you're on tune or not, because Jesus will straighten it up and it'll all come out nice and in tune. How many are looking forward to heaven now? Amen. How powerful. You know, we're doing our book club, second and fourth Wednesday night. This will be our first one. And we're reading a book on the restoration of the tabernacle of David, which according to Acts 15, the Bible says, the Lord says He will restore the tabernacle of David. The power of His presence. Great book. We urge you to get a book and come and join us. Enjoy your reading of the book. It's simple reading. It's full of Scripture. But what is Jesus saying to us about worship? Revelation 5 verse 13, every creature. And that doesn't leave anything out, does it? Every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb forever and ever. Revelation 19, verse 1 and then 5 and 6. After these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you His servants, and those who fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. How many of you think we have a little more to be able to learn and do and express and worship?
Yes.
How about a lot more?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, let's hear you say amen.
Amen.
Worship. Jesus is also praying for you and me, and He's preparing your eternal home. Hebrews 7, verse 25, He always lives to make intercession for you. Aren't you glad for that? Jesus is praying for you right now. Hebrews 9, verse 22, for Christ has entered into heaven itself to appear now before God as our advocate. He did not go into the earthly place of worship, for that was a mere copy of the real temple in heaven. He's there being our advocate. There is a heaven, and there is a hell. Now, before Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God talked and walked with them every day. No sin, no separation. Sin separated them from God. And the Bible says your sins have separated you from God. How many understand that's true? Hard to keep sinning and feel close to Jesus, isn't it? Do you understand, if you want to talk in computer terminology, our default destination switched because of sin? God created us to live eternally in His presence. But when sin entered in, death came upon all men by one man's sins, the Bible says. So the default destination is hell rather than heaven. That's why we've got good news to share with people so they can give their life to Jesus, and let's switch that default so we're going to heaven. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Jesus took the punishment, so we don't have to. So no one has to. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. When you surrender to Him, He washes you clean from sin. Surrender to Jesus. Church, if you died right now, individually, if you died right now, where would you spend eternity? And do you know? If not, give your life to Jesus today. If you do, celebrate and share Him with somebody else. So you've got worship in heaven, and you've got Jesus praying for you in heaven and preparing a place for you. Then now we've got awareness and communication. Listen to this. Watch these verses. We're going to draw just a couple of conclusions. There's a whole ton of things we could draw. You know more about heaven than you think you might. We should understand these things. Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11. When He opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, till You judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them. And it was said to them that they should rest a little longer, little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were completed. There's a positive scripture. There are some keys here. What's taking place in heaven? Communication's taking place. They communicated with a loud voice with God. They were together making that loud voice. Number two, they were aware of earth and what was happening on earth. Do people go to heaven and are they even in tune? Do they even understand? Are they watching me now? They were aware of what was happening on earth. They remember their lives on earth. They're aware of the need for a final justice and recompense yet to come. They're individual and distinct. Each of them is given a white robe. They're aware of time. And God goes on to answer them that it's not yet the fulfillment of time for retribution and judgment. And there's a family in heaven. Fellow servants and brethren together. And that leads me to the last point that I want to make today. In heaven, there is reunion with those who have gone on before. You might look at me and you might say, I know all that. It's good then to rehearse it. We don't talk much about heaven. There is a reunion. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. But I do not want you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. Look at it out of the Message. Regarding the question, friends, that has come up about what happens to those already dead and buried, we don't want you in the dark any longer. First off, you must not carry on over them like people who have nothing to look forward to, as if the grave were the last word. And I want to stop for a moment and just acknowledge it. Do you understand that the grave is not the last word? There is a heaven, there is a hell, there is a reality to eternity. And we need to know for ourselves, and as you know for yourself, we need to share Him with others that don't know. We've got good news to share. God's heart is not that anybody, or is that nobody, go to hell. He wants everybody with Him. People make choice. But we need to share with them the good news of Jesus. Verse 14. Since Jesus died and broke loose from the grave, God will most certainly bring back to life those who died in Jesus. Oh, we'll be walking on air, and then there'll be one huge family reunion with the Master. So reassure one another with these words. The relationships that we have now, God keeps working on them to help them be better and better, because it's all practice for living together in eternity. You're going to have a family reunion in heaven, don't you know? How many in this room have had someone go on to heaven before you? How many would like to see that person again? Absolutely. Do you believe that God's got His hands on you? Do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you believe there's a family reunion coming? We don't talk much about this. This is all someday. But you know, there are a lot of people who die all around us every day. People in our families, people we've known. And some of them are filled with terror. Iraq holds nothing on them as compared to what the soul experiences in eternity separated from God. Heaven is real. It's not boring. It's alive. It's not just some fuzzy, bright, white light. But it's distinct individuals gathered together in prayer and in communication and worship, looking forward to welcoming you. There's so much more than what we've addressed here today. Elaine, would you come? Possibly, like me, you've looked at death in the face. The devil would love to fill you with fear, and God says, no fear necessary. If you'll play real softly, thank you. I know it's hard on that piano, thank you. I was married to the most wonderful Christian I think I've ever known in my entire life. I know I've known it for my entire life. I think Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry would probably agree. The finest Christian I've ever known. I got to spend 24 years of marriage with her. I was with her for another year and a half beyond that as we dated in college. No, that doesn't mean we lived together. For 6.5 years, I watched Gail struggle through illness that came upon her when she was 42. Too young. And we tried everything we knew to conquer an illness. And we went in and out of hospitalizations. First one was 35 days. We owned a piece of the rock in Spokane by the time we were done. 10 days, 20 days, 15 days, Lewiston Hospital, doctor's appointments. But I got to tell you, I know I'm here still working things out with the Lord. I know He's still working things in me. I have never known somebody to go through so many things and be so free from bitterness in her soul. She didn't want it, but she was free from bitterness because she knew Jesus had His hand on her life. First surgery we had, she was in the hospital over Christmas and discovered she had cancer. She had a major surgery that took place, and I would watch her with the IV bag on the pole, and she'd get up out of bed and she'd walk down the hall and she'd start talking to other people, doing whatever ministry she could do, free from bitterness. And I'm left going, "What are you doing, Lord?" And I never heard her say it. And on the final day, after 6.5 years, probably 40 to 50 people were gathered and would come in and out of her hospital room in the afternoon. We worshiped all afternoon. We sang worship to Jesus. My sons were there, and my oldest son was over by the window, and the hospital bed was over here, and Gail was weak and couldn't speak much anymore. We knew we were coming close to the end, and I was sitting on this side, and I looked over, and my oldest son just lost it. Just began to weep, and I wasn't sure why. We continued to pray, and a short time later, I watched Gail look at my sons one last time, and she turned over and she squeezed my hand. She closed her eyes and she breathed her last. And everybody in that room, with tears coming down our face, thanked God. And I thanked God for 24 years. I'm not telling you that story as a maudlin story or a sad sack story. I'm telling you I watched a saint die well and not go into a fear-filled eternity. She died free from bitterness, loving the Jesus who had made her. And I'm instructed from it. My son told me later, "Dad, the reason I began to cry was because there had been an angel in the room for hours with Mom by her bed. And that angel looked at me and he said, 'It's time.' And he watched an angel pick her up and carry her away." Not everything may be quite so wonderful, but that was the blessing of God in our lives. If you know Jesus, you've got this eternity to look forward to. You've got Jesus and a host of people who await you there in heaven as well to welcome you. You see, I don't know who this message is for this morning. I just know the Lord told me a week ago, "You need to preach on heaven, Kevin." And I know that Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. You have people around you who need that assurance in their lives. And you need that assurance in your own. Our future destiny is not some vague, nebulous thing, but something precious in the presence of the Lord. The river of God is flowing, and the river begins and ends at the throne of God. Amen.